Hello and welcome to another episode of Surgical Educator Podcast. I am your host and today we are going to discuss a topic that many medical students and surgical trainees encounter in the daily practice, namely hemorrhoids or piles. Joining us today is Professor Dr. Selvaraj, a general and pediatric surgeon. Welcome, Dr. Selvaraj. Thank you for having me, MC. I am excited to discuss this important topic. To kick off things, could you explain what hemorrhoids are and what causes them? Certainly, MC. Hemorrhoids are swollen veins in the rectum or anus. They can be caused by increased pressure in the lower rectum, which may result from straining during bowel movements, chronic constipation, or pregnancy. It is one of the important causes for lower GI bleeding. Well, doctor, can you tell the different causes for lower GI hemorrhage? Certainly, there are several causes for lower GI hemorrhage. They are diverticulosis, number one, diverticulosis, number two, angiodysplasia. Both these conditions produce massive lower GI hemorrhage. Number three, IBD like ulcerative colitis. Number four, radiation and ischemic colitis. Number five, colorectal carcinoma. Number 6, hemorrhoids. Number 7, fissure in ano. Number 8, Meckel's diverticulum. And number 9, upper GI hemorrhage. See, upper GI hemorrhage is one of the important causes for the lower GI hemorrhage, especially the bleeding duodenal ulcer. Very good, doctor. Can you explain the etiopathogenesis of hemorrhoids? Good. The exact cause for hemorrhoids is unknown. It is idiopathic. The idiopathic hemorrhoids is also known as primary hemorrhoids. The predisposing factors are pregnancy, constipation, prolonged standing, etc. Secondary causes, there are some underlying pathologies like portal hypertension, carcinoma of the rectum, persistent straining at micturition or prolonged constipation. So all these things can produce secondary hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are cushions of submucosal tissue containing venules, arterioles, smooth muscle fibers, and elastic connective tissues. Three hemorrhoidal cushions are there at 3, 7, and 11 o'clock position. During defecation, they become engorged with blood, cushion the anal canal, and support the lining of the anal canal. During post-defecation, if the hemorrhoids are not prolapsing outside, only dripping of blood is there. But if the hemorrhoids are prolapsing out and not retracting, when the sphincters begin to close, their venous drainage is obstructed and bleeding splashes into the pan. Well explained, doctor. I have heard that hemorrhoids have different degrees. Could you explain the various degrees and their characteristic features? Certainly. Hemorrhoids are classified into 4 degrees. First degree hemorrhoids, they usually bleed but don't prolapse. Second degree hemorrhoid prolapse during bowel movement and retract spontaneously. Third degree hemorrhoids prolapse during the bowel movement and need some maneuver to reduce the prolapse hemorrhoids. Fourth degree hemorrhoids also prolapse, but this prolapse is a permanent one, and even manual reduction is not possible. What signs and symptoms can patients with hemorrhoids experience? The common clinical features include, number one, bleeding per rectum. Bleeding is usually painless and bright red blood. And this is also known as hematochezia, which usually appears as a fresh smear on the toilet paper. Number two, pain. Pain is usually not a characteristic of hemorrhoids unless it is associated with fissure in ano or thrombosis. Strangulated piles are extremely painful. Number three, mucus discharge. In third and fourth degree internal hemorrhoids and in all external hemorrhoids, there will be mucus discharge. Number four, pruritus NI. This results from excessive mucus discharge secreted from the congested mucosa. Number five, tenesmus. Sensation of incomplete evacuation of the bowel. When a patient present with suspected hemorrhoids, what diagnostic approaches are commonly employed? Diagnosis usually involves, number one, medical history, where you have to get the thorough history and you have to think of all the risk factors. Number two, physical examination. Usually we can do anoscopy or you can do digital rectal examination. A pile mass cannot be palpated because it collapses to digital pressure. It can be palpated only when it is thrombus. So it should be diagnosed by doing anoscopy or proctoscopy, where we can directly visualize these hemorrhoidal masses. Or we can also do sigmoidoscopy or colonoscopy, where we can diagnose the hemorrhoids. Apart from that, we can also rule out any other pathology up to sigmoid in sigmoidoscopy or the entire colon if we are doing colonoscopy. Are there any potential complications associated with hemorrhoids? Yes, hemorrhoids can lead to many complications like, number one, thrombosis. Clots can form inside hemorrhoids causing very severe pain. Number two, strangulation. Prolapsed hemorrhoids may lose their blood supply and will become strangulated, and then it may even necrose. And number three, anemia. Chronic bleeding can lead to low hemoglobin levels. Number four, suppuration or ulceration may occur in a thrombus hemorrhoid mass. Number five, fibrosis. After 2 to 3 weeks, thrombus hemorrhoids become fibrous, often with spontaneous cure. Well explained, doctor. How do you approach the treatment of hemorrhoids? Treatment varies based on the degree and severity. Number one, lifestyle modification. Dietary changes and fiber supplements for mild cases is enough. Example, we can ask the patient to sit on the sitz bath and ask the patient to take high fiber diet. Number two, medications. Topical creams or suppositories to alleviate the symptoms. And number three, office procedures like rubber band ligation or injection sclerotherapy, infrared coagulation, all these things are for second degree hemorrhoids. Surgery is meant for either the third or fourth degree hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoidectomy, which can be either the open method, that is called Milligan and Morgan's open hemorrhoidectomy, or the Ferguson's closed hemorrhoidectomy. Some are using lasers to do hemorrhoidectomy. Cryosurgery was done in the past, but because of enormous discharge, this procedure is abandoned now. The recent advances, they are doing even staple hemorrhoidectomy, or this is also known as procedure for prolapse hemorrhoids. So this should be done only for third and fourth degree hemorrhoids. Or they are also doing what is called ultrasound guided hemorrhoidal arterial ligation, or USG-HAM. This is the recent advance in the treatment of hemorrhoids. Well, doctor, any tips or advice for medical students and surgical trainees on managing hemorrhoid patients? Absolutely, empathy and open communication are keys. Educate your patients on dietary and lifestyle changes that can prevent recurrence. Surgical trainees should also learn the proper techniques for office-based procedures or surgical interventions like open or closed hemorrhoidectomy or staple hemorrhoidectomy. Thank you, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, for providing such valuable insight into hemorrhoids. This information is vital for medical students at all stages of their career. It is my pleasure. I hope this discussion helps our listeners feel more confident in managing hemorrhoid cases. Remember, it's a common condition, and with the right approach, you can make a significant difference in your patients' lives. Absolutely, doctor. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of Surgical Educator Podcast on hemorrhoids. Keep exploring the world of surgery, and until next time, stay curious. Bye-bye, until we are going to meet you again. Bye.